This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us today. It is that day we call Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage, your one-stop shop for all of your mortgage needs. Kurt, when are you going to put that on a card? Your one-stop shop
for all your mortgage needs.
Yeah.
We could make a little song about that. My wife wants me to make a song about our advertising.
Hey.
One-stop shop for all your mortgage needs. I'm not a singer.
Diana can sing the jingle.
Yeah,
all right, we'll do that.
She wouldn't do that either.
But that voice you hear is Kurt Rogers, owner of Affordable Interest Mortgage. Their number is 720-895-0500. So, Kurt, what's happening in the mortgage world?
Well, everybody seems to think that the housing values are going to stop. And when you look at it, it's just not going to happen. We still don't have everybody back to work. When we are short in supplies on lumber, on all kinds of devices for cars to get them built and get them out, that means we don't have enough supplies to handle the demand. As long as the demand for the economy to keep growing, the housing market's going to keep going forward the way it is. There is a group of people that want to buy a home, basically first-time home buyers, some millennials. They don't have the extra $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 to take care of this appraisal gap.
Sure.
So they're just sitting back waiting for homes to quit selling for over the price, so that they can get into the game. So that's the second wave that's going to happen when this one gets passed, and we're not going to see this happen for the rest of the year. The demand on houses, the builders have quit building because they can't keep up with the demand, for one, and two, they can't keep the price up fast enough because of the supplies keep costs. The lumber costs keep going up.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got builders that are just saying, no, we're not going to build for a while.
There was a gentleman that made a post on Facebook the other day real quick, and he just had some 2x4, some plywood, whatever, just doing a little job. And he said when he priced this out last year, the cost of the job was $29.41, almost $3,000. He just priced it out, and it was $13,500 for the same job, same labor, just material.
Four times as much.
Sheesh.
The builders are now starting to put security cameras on their sites to protect the wood. And hiring guards, so because people are coming in at night stealing the wood to turn around and sell it on the market. Now, I mean, that sounds bad. We're going to get past this, but as far as home values, they're increasing at 8 to 9% a year. Last year, they increased at 11%. It's not going to stop. Now, for us that have lived here for a long time, we're like, it's not real. It's not real, but exactly. It is real, and people are paying the money.
Yeah. Well, Kurt and his team can help you if you've got any kind of mortgage needs. As I said earlier, they take care of it all. Reverse mortgages, refinancing, VA loans, Kurt.
VA, FHA, USDA if you live out in the country.
Anything with an A in it, they take care of it.
Yeah, if it's got an A, I'm in.
All right, 720-895-0500. Well, today we're going to be talking about sleep apnea. Clem Sensi is with us. Clem's been with us a number of times with Inspire Sleep. And, Clem, good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
And real quick, you can check out their website, inspiresleep.com. Very easy, but we want you to do that because I'm telling you, I was taping a show with a family doctor. I do a show each week in Dallas, and we were talking about sleep apnea today, and he sees it a ton in his family medical practice. And he was just talking about all the different things that it can cause if you just leave it alone and ignore it because it isn't going to go away. This is not one of those things that get better. Very few medical conditions do when you ignore them. But, I mean, this is a very serious topic. And we're glad to have Dr. David Book back with us, and he is with the University of Colorado Health, ear, nose, and throat. And I tell you, Doc, this is great to have you back, first of all.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So this is something that is really, really serious, isn't it, sleep apnea?
It really is. It's an endemic problem. We see lots and lots of people having significant sleep disorders, and it can affect just about every aspect of their life, quality of life during the daytime, sleep at night, obviously, and then there are health consequences with sleep apnea if left untreated.
What, and for a layman like me, what causes the problem at night? They can't sleep, is there oxygen, or is their pathways condensed down? What causes them not to be able to have this, or to have this sleep problem?
Yeah, so there are a couple of different types of sleep apnea we see. At altitude, at Denver's altitude, there's a type of sleep apnea called central apnea, where during sleep, the signal to breathe sent by the brain to the lungs just doesn't occur. So there's a pause in breathing, and as a result, then we can sometimes see oxygen levels decrease. The other type of sleep apnea that is very, very common is this thing called obstructive sleep apnea. And so what occurs during sleep is there are changes in brainwave activity, there's changes in muscle tone and breathing patterns that occur. So a person with obstructive sleep apnea, as they're attempting to take a breath in, a normal breath, that breath gets obstructed. So we call that an obstructive apnea. Or sometimes as they're attempting to take a breath in, that breath is shallow and inefficient. It's a small breath, what we call a hypopnea. And essentially what happens is there's some area of restriction or obstruction to airflow that occurs in the upper airway, whether it's at the level of the nose or the back of the throat and the palate, the tongue, and that breath just doesn't go in. So there's an attempt at a breath, but it is not efficient. It doesn't happen. And the body realizes that. The brain says, hey, we're not breathing the way we're supposed to, and then there's consequences that occur.
So when people first realize this and they come in, let me start here. How should someone, or when should someone seek medical attention? How do they know when something is getting serious?
Oftentimes, the initiating factor is the bed partner. So the spouse, mm-hmm. the bed partner says, hey, since I've known you, you snore loudly. Mm-hmm. You make a lot of noise, and it's really hard for me to sleep through it. But maybe more importantly,
so if your wife's sleeping in the other room, seek medical attention.
Exactly, yes, yeah, yeah. A lot of times, too, the bed partners will say, during sleep, I hear you. You stop breathing, or you pause, you choke, you gasp. You feel like you sound like you're just rumbling, and it doesn't sound right. Often, people experience restless sleep, and so the bed partners are often the initiating piece to this. They say, "Hey, you're just not sleeping well. We need to look into this." For individuals experiencing sleep apnea, there may be clues in their life and lifestyle. They often will say that they just feel like their sleep is restless. They find themselves waking up. When they wake in the morning, even though they've been sleeping for a whole night, they might still feel tired and sleepy, fatigued during the day, have problems with focus, attention, memory. So oftentimes there are signs and symptoms that people experience that suggest that their sleep is not going the way we want it to and that something's not right. So we look to investigate it.
So is the first step a sleep study? Is that once people come in for a consult, or just kind of walk us through the process a little bit?
Yeah, so if there's a suspicion, if there's a history that suggests that there's a sleep disorder, especially one of these sleep apnea phenomena, then the test of choice is a sleep study. And there are different versions of these. There are sleep studies that kind of classically are done in a sleep lab, where you go in, it's almost like a hotel room. And in the lab, they hook you up to monitors, they turn the lights out, have you go off to sleep, and then they're measuring several parameters through the course of the nighttime, including oxygenation, including these measurable events, these obstructive apneas or these hypopneas that I mentioned earlier. They have criteria that they can check box off and say, are you having a problem? There are versions of the sleep tests that are becoming more popular, where they can be performed at home. And there are pros and cons to that. The home tests, I think, are really good. It's a sleep test done in your own environment, under your own circumstances, where you're not having somebody else come and walking in on you. And these home sleep tests typically are portable tests that you get delivered to your home. You do the study overnight, and then they download the information and get you the results.
You brought up a point about being tired and not functioning well the next day. You may think you've slept well through the night, but because of the sleep apnea, like you said, it's a symptom that can go on that can affect not other parts of your body and your health and your diet and stuff like that, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. I think about it's sometimes high blood pressure, for example, is referred to as the silent killer, because people mm-hmm. are asymptomatic from it, but over time it wears your body down and causes trouble. I consider sleep apnea the loud killer. Because it's usually associated by that
snore.
With the snoring and the loud disruptive breathing, and then over a period of time, it's wearing the body down, not only physically and emotionally, both physically and emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Again, Dr. David Book is with us. Inspiresleep.com is the website. You can check that out. So you mentioned you've been really busy. Okay.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Let's kind of walk through some of the cases of late, and maybe just kind of tell us you know, some of your patients' stories and where they kind of are after they've done the Inspire Sleep procedure.
Yeah, and it's interesting, the implications, it's hard to, which is a great way of going about it, because it's very difficult to necessarily compare one person with sleep apnea with another
sure.
person. It's one of these things, it's really hard to, everybody's story is different. For a lot of folks who are experiencing it, for example, I've had people come in who really are, it's the spouse saying, you need to fix this.
I'm not sleeping because of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the motivation is to make the is to make mama happy, because if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right? But for example, there's a recent patient who kind of lives out in the middle of nowhere, off the grid. That's the choice that person has made. They get their energy from solar panels and a generator. And they have bad sleep apnea. And this person has bad sleep apnea. His wife came in and said, "I can't deal with living out in the woods with him. You know, calling the bears home. So we need to fix this thing." And got a sleep study, and sure enough, he has pretty significant sleep apnea. The current treatment for most sleep apnea and the standard of practice and standard of care is with this thing called continuous positive airway pressure, CPAP. And it's a device where you place a mask on your face, over your nose, or over your mouth, or both, and it pushes air into the airway, and it basically acts as a stent to pop things open. And without a doubt, CPAP is still the best treatment we have for sleep apnea. It's found that when worn on a regular basis with the appropriate settings, that people with sleep apnea can see significant reduction or resolution of their sleep apnea events, and as a result, sleep better, they feel better. The risk factors with their health go away. But you have to use the CPAP in order for it to work. It doesn't work if it's underneath the bed. It has to be on your face at nighttime.
Or in the drawer.
In the drawer, yeah, or in the closet. In the garage somewhere in a box. And while a lot of many people can use the CPAP and do great, and that's still the best treatment and always how we push people to try it. But in this particular circumstance, the gentleman had trip difficulty because of the power requirements. So at night, trying to power the CPAP, he just didn't have enough. He was going through way too much generator energy, running through his batteries on his solar, mm-hmm. And it wasn't an optimal option for him. And he tried it, and it just was not working. So in trying to look at other options for treatment for people who can't do CPAP for one reason or another, then we start to look at surgical interventions for sleep. And those surgical interventions are designed to try to identify the areas in the upper airway where there may be obstruction or restriction to airflow, and we're trying to modify those. Those things can be at the level of the nose, could be at the level of the tonsils in people who still have those. The palate and the back of the tongue is one of those areas that we often see falling backwards and causing trouble. So with his circumstance, we initiated that kind of that workup to try to figure out, is there something else we could do to help him with his sleep apnea that didn't involve CPAP?
Right. So that obstruction can happen in several different areas. So that's part of the diagnosis.
Right. And again, that's why it's hard to sometimes be able to compare apples to apples, because everybody, one person's an apple, another's an orange, and another's a pear.
Right.
And things can be different. So part of the evaluation, if we're considering surgery for sleep apnea, is to do a test called a drug-induced sleep endoscopy.
Ooh. Hello.
Yeah. So it's interesting, because I can have a conversation with a person in my office, and we can look at their sleep study, and I can do an exam with them awake and upright and with their full undivided attention, and that doesn't tell me what in heck is going on when they're sleeping at nighttime. Mm-hmm. So we've struggled a little bit historically to say, well, how do we figure this out? Do we do fancy x-rays or what? But really a simple test is we bring people into the operating room or into an endoscopy suite in the hospital or on the outpatient surgery center, check them in. We come back into the room, have the person get a little bit of medication through the vein that basically drifts them off to sleep. So not fully anesthetized, but just kind of in that sleep state where we start to see the snoring perhaps starting to occur. We're telling jokes and they're not listening to the jokes anymore. And while that person is then asleep, there's a little flexible endoscope that we can use that looks in through the nose and takes a look at the back of the nose, the back of the throat, the back of the tongue. seeing what's happening dynamically while the person is asleep. And the information we glean from that test gives us the targets that we can go after if we're looking for surgery.
It's like you force people to take a quick nap.
Exactly, yep. Then when it's all done, you wake
up,
you go home.
While you're going up your nose.
Exactly, yep. Mm-hmm.
It takes longer to explain it than it actually does to do the test.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
No doubt.
How many people have sleep disorders or sleep apnea in the United States?
Oh, you're going to ask a tough question. It's in the millions. One of the estimates I saw is that somewhere around maybe 13 to 17% of people in the United States have a sleep apnea type phenomenon.
And there probably could be 20% more. It's just undiagnosed.
Yeah, exactly. Right. A lot of people might have it not know it.
Yep. Well, and that's another point too. Is we're starting to see sleep apnea as it's no longer your dad's sleep apnea. You know, your dad would fall asleep on the couch and he'd snore away, and you'd hear him stop breathing, and 2 a.m. you'd kick him, wake him up, and go upstairs and do the same thing. But we're identifying people with sleep apnea that may be a little bit more indolent, if you will. We're recognizing that obstructive sleep apnea is a significant risk factor for cardiovascular disease and for cardiac arrhythmias. People with disorders like atrial fibrillation, which is very common, there's a very high association, a correlation with that disorder and sleep disorders like sleep apnea. So many cardiologists now are starting to look at their patients with atrial fibrillation, other cardiac arrhythmias, and asking, maybe you have a sleep disorder, so we're starting to do testing for sleep apnea in patients who may not have otherwise gotten into the system.
Well, you said that at the beginning, the lack of sleep because of this can cause other problems down the road.
Absolutely.
And that's what they're seeing. Is men or women more likely to have it?
It tends to favor men. The men are more likely to be diagnosed with sleep apnea, and probably because of our body habitus. But it's nonspecific. Yeah, it's an equal opportunity disorder.
And most things I've read, a few pounds on you.
Yeah.
Extra.
Yeah.
Other things.
Yeah. Well, and for some milder sleep apnea, for those who have a more mild or kind of more moderate sleep apnea, as we're talking about all these fancy CPAP and surgery and making people scared about what to think if they get diagnosed with sleep apnea, there may be some simpler ways of improving it. And I've got, for example, I've got a patient who, when we did the sleep study, he was done in the lab and he was on his back for it. And so and that's part of just the way they do the test in the lab, is because it's easier with the monitors on. And his sleep apnea severity was in the moderate to severe category there. When I questioned him later about his sleep, he said, well, gosh, I just never sleep on my back. I'm always on my side. It's the only way I can be comfortable. And when we looked at the sleep study and broke down the information, when he was on his side during the sleep study, he actually had very little, if any, sleep apnea. So the solution for him was just sleep on your side. And he does well. Yeah.
So you build little walls around him. And okay,
you can do that. Yeah.
Sleep on your
side.
There's
actually devices for that you can find online, like
pillows
and these braces that will keep you on your side.
Yeah, it's a little Velcro strap you wear around your chest that has a piece of wedge foam in the back that just keeps you from laying on your back.
Is it hereditary?
I think in so much as the way our body is designed, you know, we kind of look like our parents, kind of body habitus wise, and if we see folks who may be a little heavier and have a lot of central kind of mass, that tends to run in families a little bit.
See, my dad was one of them guys, if he snored the police station down the block could hear him.
Yeah, yeah.
And then my brother did. He came up with sleep apnea. He lives in Tennessee. Yeah. Now, the rest of us, I mean, we're fine, but I just wanted to throw it out there.
So real quick, we got to take a break. But so when you do a sleep test, how many, I mean, would a normal person, and I don't know what the technical term, medical term would be, episodes or whatever where they quit breathing, but would a normal person with no problem have zero? And then what do you see when someone has sleep apnea? How many times are they disturbed with this stop breathing deal?
Great question. So as we're trying to get the information from those sleep studies, one of the pieces of info we're looking at is this thing called the apnea hypopnea index, the AHI, and it's kind
That's
of your
I
sleep
was
apnea.
Trying to say.
Yeah, it's your sleep apnea number. And it's the average number of times per hour you're having a measurable respiratory event, an apnea. So a score of 0 to 5 is considered normal. So a normal sleep person can have an apneic event that occurs 4 or 5 times an hour, and that's okay. We consider a score of 6 to 15 to be mild, 16 to 30 to be moderate, and anything over 30 events per hour is considered severe.
What's the worst you've seen?
About 28, 29. I think at 150.
In an hour?
Yeah. And I think at about 150, you're dead. I mean, it's at some point, you can't, it's just there's not enough time to check those boxes off.
So this person was knocking at the door.
Yeah.
Wow.
Unbelievable. For more information, you can call 720-271-5640. Once again, check out the website, inspiresleep.com. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is Chris Kane with 303 Roofer. If you have an insurance claim on your roof and want to keep some of that money in your pocket, give us a call and we'll give you a cash bid to replace your roof. You pay insurance every month and now insurance has paid you. It's your money and we understand that. So give us a call at 303-390-1382 or visit our website, 303roofer.com.
Now's the time to get into the outdoorsman's attic. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and you've heard me say many times, this is one of my favorite stores. The Outdoorsman's Attic's selection is incredible right now for all of your camping, hunting, and fishing needs. Just a few items to mention, all backpacks are 10% off, sleeping bags 20%, and Sitka gear 40% off of retail. They also have great deals on firearms and also tons of fishing gear down in the basement. And if your firearms need a little work or cleaning, see Scott the gunsmith and tell him we sent you. It's the Outdoorsman's Attic. It's Colorado's premier outdoor consignment store for the outdoors. They're located at 2650 West Hamden. Tell them Scott sent you.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe, too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where our reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Now's the time to get into D&D Tire and get your vehicle ready for those beautiful mountain drives or those summer road trips with the family. From AC and heating, brake service, battery replacement, engine repair, transmission service, oil changes, and of course, all of your tire needs, D&D Tire has you covered. Right now, you can get up to 6 months special financing with approved credit and $150 back on a qualifying tire purchase when you open a Goodyear credit account. If you're looking for trustworthy technicians and reasonable prices, along with outstanding service, it's D&D Tire. Three locations to serve you, two in Aurora and one in Parker. Check them out, ddtireservice.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio and Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. Our special guest today, Clem Sensi, is with us from Inspire Sleep, and also Dr. David Book, MD, University of Colorado Health, Ear, Nose, and Throat. And by the way, if you'd like Dr. Book's number, 719-364-4120. That's 719-364-4120. So, Clem, if people are listening to this and they're saying, like, okay, how do I find a doc? How do I find more information? Where can I learn about this? Well, the website, inspiresleep.com, where do they go to? What do they look for?
Find a physician page. So on inspiresleep.com, we have a link for physicians in the area. If you go and you click on that link, it'll ask for your zip code and it'll give you every provider in the area that works with Inspire within a certain radius. So if you live in Denver, Colorado Springs, type in your zip code and it'll pull up all the providers within that radius that work with us. Dr. Book is listed on there, so if you would like to find someone in Colorado Springs, he's available. And you also find educational opportunities listed on their profile page. So we have one every week. Actually, every Thursday night, we host a virtual health talk for patients to come on. It's virtual. They don't have to be in person. But Dr. Book goes through basically everything we're talking about today, from sleep apnea to treatment options, how to get in touch with his clinic, all sorts of stuff. Okay. So it's easy to register. If patients do decide to register but aren't able to make it, we actually follow up with them with an email with a link to the recording of that event so they can learn a little bit about it at their own convenience.
Oh, and cool. That happens once a week?
Once a week, every Thursday.
And they can find that if they just go on and they find the doctor's information and it'll
correct.
Tell them when
actually,
those classes are.
There's two ways to do it. So through, if you find Dr. Book's profile page, it'll say free educational event available. You can click on it and register that way. Or if you just go to inspiresleep.com and look for events, there's an events tab that'll take you through by state all the educational opportunities that are available right currently.
Wow. Cool.
Yep.
I wanted to ask about the CPAPs because I have a brother that uses them. They've kind of improved. They've
yes.
gotten smaller.
Yeah, the technology just continues to improve like everything else. It's, you know, you can get iCPAP, you know, version 12 or whatever. And but yeah, the devices themselves continue to change. With one thing that many people are afraid of with the CPAP is that, again, you're thinking about your dad's CPAP or
yep.
Aunt Joan that you saw when you guys were at your cousin's wedding. The devices themselves, the actual machines, tend to be relatively small, maybe around the size of a small toaster or lunch bag, and there are different types of masks that people can wear. Some that go just over the nose or kind of up in the nose a little bit. Others that cover the nose and the mouth. And there are varying types of those. So the goal, if we're looking at CPAP is primary therapy, is to try to find that interface between the mask and the person that fits well and is comfortable. And oftentimes that's the case. Sometimes it's as simple as just getting back in touch with the provider for the CPAP machine and saying, hey, I need to try a couple of different devices.
Mm-hmm. Something to where they can sleep, like the guy that slept on his side, if he had something that was kind of strapped around his head, that wouldn't. Because it'd be pushing on a skull versus just a face mask.
Right, and there can be different types of straps. But you bring up a good point there, too. And there are some who, you know, people who are sleepers on their stomach, for example, or tend to be side sleepers or roll around a lot, where sometimes they do struggle with that CPAP.
Sure. Now, the Inspire device, it's not something you wear outside. It's something that's put inside the body. Kind of, how long has that been out? When did that start?
Yeah, was it 2016, the FDA approval for this? So it's the concept of the Inspire has been around for a while, and there were some studies done in Europe, but the FDA approval for use in the United States was in 2016. So we're looking at about 5 years of some data and experience here. For what we're dealing with the Inspire is for those who just have trouble tolerating their CPAP and find that it's not going to be the best treatment for their sleep apnea for one reason or another, then we're looking for these alternative treatments. And one of the areas that has historically been problematic in treating sleep apnea has been the tongue and the soft tissues of the palate. Those are dynamic structures. The tongue especially is this big chunk of muscle that we need to have be flexible and mobile if we want to be able to speak and swallow and articulate. So it's a hard area to try to fix with something surgical in the classic sense. So Inspire, when we're identifying those people on that drug-induced sleep endoscopy who are having a lot of obstruction during their sleep at the level of the back of the tongue and the back of the throat, then those people may be candidates for Inspire. And so what Inspire was designed to do is to answer that question about how do we deal with the back of the tongue and the soft tissues that are collapsing at nighttime and causing obstruction. The way it works is that there is it's all under the surface. There's an implantable device, almost like a little pacemaker. For those who, you know, back in the day, if you remember what a silver dollar looked like, you know, in real currency, it's a little bit bigger than the size of that, a little thicker. But it's an implantable device that goes underneath the skin, kind of over the muscles of our pectoral muscle and the chest, similar to a pacemaker. There's a little electrode that goes then under the surface of that to the front part of our rib cage, and it's a sensor lead that measures our breathing. And then there's another little wire that goes up into the neck through a little incision underneath the chin that wraps around the nerves that run the muscles of our tongue. So the way this device works is that when during sleep, again, it's all under the surface, there's a remote that you place over the generator, the implant, and you turn it on. And then once a person's asleep and the Inspire device is activated, it senses when a breath is being taken. So when you're trying to take that breath in during sleep, It senses that, and then it sends a little signal to the nerve to the tongue that caused the tongue to stiffen and protrude just a little bit. It keeps it from falling back.
Falling back, plugging the hole.
Exactly. And so in doing so through the course of the night, we're eliminating, hopefully, completely eliminating that tongue base and back of the throat obstruction that's occurring and seeing significant improvement in sleep apnea. And that's really been borne out as we're always looking for success in things medically, certainly on one side of the fence is we want to identify objective improvement. We want to be able to say, hey, this has made a difference. And then on the second side of that is subjectively, do you feel better? Is your spouse happier with this thing? And so for those who are good candidates for the Inspire device, what we're seeing is that in the large clinical trials, there's about an 80% reduction in your sleep apnea score, that apnea hypopnea index thing.
You're not at 128 anymore.
Well, I should say it's at 128, we're talking about other options. The Inspire may not be a good option for somebody who's that bad.
Right.
If you've got a person who starts out with a score around 30, for example, we can pretty easily, in most cases, get them down to a score where they're in the normal or very mild range of sleep apnea.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I really like about this is, since we've been doing the shows with Clem and all the different guests we've talked to, we've had other docs, we've had couples that have come in and heard their stories, is you guys aren't saying this is the end-all be-all for everybody, okay?
No.
I mean, this is an individual thing. You kind of got to qualify for it if this is the right treatment for you. And so I think, even our listeners probably appreciate that, because we're not saying, hey, this isn't a magic thing that's good for everybody. Everybody's different, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And so, yes, there are certain criteria that we look at to determine if somebody's even a candidate for this. It's a tool. It's one of our tools in our toolbox, mm-hmm. but it may
right.
not be the only tool. So currently, things that qualify or persons that qualify are those who are 18 years or older. So it's not yet indicated for children. We want to see sleep apnea that's in that moderate to severe range. So on that apnea hypopnea index, that sleep score, a score of 15 up to 65. So that guy with the 128, he's not going to get much better.
He's got other problems.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But that score of 15 to 65. We know it works better in people whose body mass index is reasonable, so it's indicated for those with a body mass index under 35. There's got to be some reason to do it. There's got to be some reason why CPAP is not working for
right.
you. Because if CPAP's working, that's the treatment. We keep pushing that.
Because it works the best.
Absolutely.
Now, if it's FDA approved, do the insurance companies cover it?
Most of them do. There's positive policy agreements with most commercial insurance plans, with Medicare, some of the government insurance plans like Medicaid and TRICARE. But a lot of commercial policies do cover it. There's a process of authorization. If we
sure.
get to the point where we're really considering that, then we're working through the process of making sure the insurance companies are kosher with it.
As of 2 weeks ago, we got the announcement that Anthem has issued a positive policy for us. That was the last big commercial carrier that had held out for a little while, but they are
oh, wow.
on. They have it now, and we are all. It's a positive policy, so yes.
Well, it makes sense because it can lead into other things that are much more costly. The heart issues.
Yeah, this right. is probably a little less expensive than open heart surgery.
Yeah,
good
to say. For sure. That's
well,
pretty good.
Well, we know the untreated sleep apnea, especially in the moderate to severe category, as we alluded to earlier, is associated with cardiovascular disease and cardiac arrhythmias.
Right.
There's an increased risk for heart attack, increased risk for stroke, high blood pressure, sudden death, and also a known reduction in life expectancy. So you can chop a couple of years off the end of your life if you don't treat your sleep apnea.
So what made you, you probably see a lot of different things out there for sleep apnea, doing what you do. What made you choose, Inspire Sleep? Besides Clem.
Okay. mostly Clem.
Mostly Clem.
I have an interest in treating sleep, surgical sleep treatments, when CPAP is failing, and Inspire provided that tool that had been missing from the toolbox for a long time. There had been some procedures to try to help improve or deal with the back of the tongue during sleep, but they were static solutions for what really is a dynamic problem. So a lot of the prior treatments involved trying to form some kind of a quote-unquote sling, in the tongue tissue to try to keep it from falling back. but it didn't really address the fact that the tongue is moving. And so Inspire was the is the answer to that.
Right.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say that's amazing to me. You were talking about putting the sling in, so that goes inside the throat.
Right, yeah.
To hold the tongue into place.
There's a version
and then where, now I have to sleep.
Right, there's a version of a stitch that goes underneath the surface and would go from behind the jaw, attached to the jawbone, and then sling back through the tongue muscles so that when you slept, it just kind of kept it from falling back like a hammock, or a version where you're bringing some of the muscles forward and attaching them to the under surface of the jaw, and it's
Wow.
Yeah, Inspire device probably works much better.
It does.
InspireSleep.com, 720-271-5640. We'll be right back.
Hi, Jack Corrigan for Len Lyle Chevrolet. Len Lyle Chevrolet is open and safe. It's truck month, and they have the best deals of the year on all trucks and SUVs, like up to $10,000 off on half-ton Silverados. Or come check out the all-new Tahoes and Suburbans for 2021. Len Lyle has been there for 35 years, and low overhead really does mean low prices. Check them out on the web, LenLyleChevy.com. Go east and pay the least. Chevy. Find new roads.
David R. Cishan, certified estate planner and registered financial consultant, specializes in working with people who are planning for retirement and retired clients who want to preserve and grow their assets.
Education is the greatest equalizer is my theme. It's always been. More people know, the better their decisions are, the more comfortable they become. So when people come in, we take, some people say, an excessive amount of time learning about the client themselves, who they are. What are their feelings? I don't care how much assets they have. If their assets are important to them, that's critical to me.
Call now for your free consultation with David Cishan of Householder Group. 720-482-1917. That's 720-482-1917. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Householder Group Estate and Retirement Specialist, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
You have this box at home filled with random pieces of old jewelry, some of which you inherited from a family member and all of which you aren't using. You don't want to get rid of it because many of the pieces have sentimental value, but you don't really know how much they're worth. You don't even know which pieces are real. Bring that box, all of it, to Jesse and his team at Littleton Jewelry. They will take a look at everything for free. They'll let you know what's real and what's not, and they'll give you estimates. Then you decide what you want to do. Sell the pieces to Littleton Jewelry for a fair price. Sit down with the pre to start working on a new custom design created from the old pieces. Get appraisals from Jesse and his team on the more valuable items to protect them in case of theft. Whatever you decide, don't leave them just sitting in that box forever. Find out what you have. Set up a private appointment with Jesse and his team at Littleton Jewelry today. Custom jewelry for life.
You're listening to KLZ 560, your home station.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio and Your Money Matters. You're just joining us. Clem Cincy is with us from Inspire Sleep. And also Dr. David Book with the University of Colorado Health, ear, nose, and throat doc. Is there a lot of ear, nose, and throat problems in Colorado just in general?
Yes.
Really?
So, yeah,
short answer.
I'm busy. We're busy.
Do you deal with tinnitus?
As much as it can be dealt with. With that phenomenon, it's very, very common. Maybe even up to 30 million Americans, up to 50 experiencing it.
I have it really bad. I have a high pitch, and everybody's is different. You know, there's some people that have like a low roaring deal. I've got one buddy that says it's like 1,000 locusts in his head buzzing. Mine is a real high pitch squeal, you know, that never shuts off. And I mean, so when I get and try to go to sleep at night, you know, it's really hard and quiet. I mean, I have to sleep with a fan and things because, boy, I just got to get, but I mean, it is always there.
Yeah, it's very common, can be remarkably annoying, and we have yet to find the cure for it. There are some things promising maybe on the horizon, but we have a little ways to go.
Where's it, just real quick, where does it come from, kind of?
So it's what we call an abnormal auditory perception. So I think of the hearing system a little bit like a computer, in that you got the hardware and the software components. And the hardware are the things you can see and touch, the eardrum, the ear bones, the hearing organ, the nerve, the brain. And where the tinnitus comes from is thought to be more of a software glitch. So at some point in the processing of sound information at the hearing organ or the nerve or the brain level, the brain has gotten confused. It's trying to fill in the blanks, and so we get this
There's
perception
a lot of blanks,
of sounds.
So. Yeah.
See, so we get this perception of sound. Yeah.
I had an acoustic neuroma, so that when they went in, and I ended up losing the hearing in my right ear because of it. But they told me that I'm going to have this ringing in the ear, the tinnitus, because the brain is saying, well, you're used to noise. You're not getting it. We're going to give it to you, basically.
Exactly. Yeah, it's filling in the blanks, yeah.
Yeah, and it never goes away. I've just learned to become accustomed to it.
No, it drives you. Every once in a while, I'll be sitting there, and, man, it'll like, you know, I'm serious, Clem. I mean, it was like, man, this is about to drive me nuts.
And that's what they had told me at the time. It was the brain's filling the gap.
Correct, yeah. I think of it a little bit like the ear version of somebody who's lost their leg and they still feel their foot kind of at the end of the stump.
Oh, yeah. My sister lost a leg to diabetes and had those phantom pains, they called it.
Yep.
And that's a mental deal, too, because you look down, there's no leg there below the knee, and yet you feel your toes hurting.
You feel it there. It's that memory of what used to be.
Right. Absolutely.
I wanted to ask you a couple more. The volume of what you're doing with this since the last couple of times we've talked is starting to increase. Why do you think that's happening? You're doing more of them, it seems like, now than before.
Well, yeah, thanks. With the Inspire program that we started in Colorado Springs, we were kind of intended to get that going about this time last year, but of course we all know what happened.
Oh, it's something,
It took a little while for us to get the ball rolling. So really, we did our first implant in Colorado Springs in late June of last year. And since then, it's been a little bit of just getting the word out. I think a lot of the people who would normally refer to us, people who are sleep medicine specialists, a lot of primary care doctors, just didn't really know much about it. So it's a little bit of us just getting the information out there and saying, hey, this is an option for treatment. And that's helped quite a bit. Our health talks that we do have also led to, I think, getting the word out. We've gotten some word of mouth stuff. We've had a couple of patients who said, "You know, set aside next week because I've got 48 people I've met who are coming in to see you about this thing," and that's been really helpful. So yeah, our volume has really increased. I think we did 4 implants in a month through the course of late April and early May.
We've had a couple of couples in here talking about. I mean, this is a life changing thing for people.
Yes,
it really is.
Yes,
for the right patient. Yes.
Yeah, for the right patient, it can be. We had another patient who came in who I think they came in for their first postoperative visit, and or I can't remember if it was the activation of it, but I think his wife was like quivering. She was like dance. She was in her chair with her legs going. She was so excited about turning this dang thing on because it had been so long since she'd had a good night's sleep with her husband that he just kind of looked at her and rolled his eyes. But his wife was stoked and she was so happy to get this thing going.
Way more excited than he was.
Very much so. Yeah.
Let's go through what we mentioned earlier. You mentioned the one gentleman that was kind of off the grid and told his story here. And so let's talk about the last other couple of patients you've had.
A lot of them have just really come. Once the device gets activated, it's almost like this light bulb goes on where they realize, I can't believe sort of what I was missing.
What I put up with
years,
all this
time. That when they're finding the right settings and they're using the device on a nightly basis, they're waking up feeling refreshed, recovered. The energy levels, memory, attention, just mood gets better. I think we all kind of realize, too, that when we're tired, we just don't want to do the things we know we should do. And we don't want to eat right. We don't want to exercise. Mm-hmm. We don't feel great. And then once all of a sudden our energy level comes back and the shades go up on the world and we can see things again, that just life gets better and we can start to live a lot healthier.
To quote one of his patients yesterday, where has this been the last 12 years?
Really? Yeah.
Well, it didn't come out to 2016.
Yeah. So. Right. In production and going through FDA approval. That's what it's been. Yeah.
But so happy. My favorite part about it is watching a patient come in for the first time and you can tell that they're tired. You can tell that they're not happy. And by the time we get them activated and then we see them for the first follow-up after activation or after their sleep study, it's almost like a new person. It's almost like a different person. They're happy. Yeah. They're joking. It's night and day difference. It's
well, that's awesome. Why I think these meetings, these Zoom deals, whatever, that you have where people can come on and tell their stories, because I tell people all the time when they come in and they do different things and they've got patients, I say, man, there's nothing more powerful than a real patient story. You know, not paid actors, not paid anything, and not commercials, but I mean people telling you what their life was like before and now what their life is like after.
Yeah, you don't need paid testimonials from folks.
No, that's what I mean, and people are glad to do this. Yeah.
We had every one of his talks has a patient, Mr. Morales, who's come on here and spoken with us before. He's a tremendous advocate for us. He does a great job of explaining what his pre-Inspire life was like, post-Inspire. It's a very powerful story.
Sure. So do you ever see this in younger people? Does this ever happen with people under 40, let's say?
Oh, certainly. Okay. I think we tend to see a lot of diseases and disorders kind of present more in midlife, mostly because we've had more time to develop those things. You know, it's the luck of the draw. Hmm. But certainly, sleep apnea can exist in newborn babies all the way up to 98-year-olds. It's a little different phenomena in kids, but for adults, certainly, I'm trying to think how the youngest person we've done so far, but certainly in looking at folks in their late 20s and even early 30s who've identified a problem.
The majority of the people are over 50 that have it done.
So far, I think that's although we've had some 30 somethings and 40 somethings come through recently. The most recent patients we've had have been in their 40s, and again, I think that has more to do with the fact they've gone through. They were diagnosed 15 years ago, and they've been trying CPAP and going through the process of trying other treatments, and so it's more just a matter of having been through the medical process.
Well, it could also be maybe the people are kind of ignorant that this problem that they're having in sleeping, they don't relate it to it because they're 20, 25 years old. I'm young, I'm okay, I can handle this. I partied too hard last night, that's the reason I'm not sleeping. And it's got nothing to do with the sleep apnea.
Right, and we all know that at 27, you're totally invincible. So no matter what happens, it's not my problem, it's somebody else's problem too.
Yeah.
Sorry, millennials, it's true. We were kind of discussing this a little bit earlier too, is that a lot of people we get are because spouses have been fed up with it. So they've been married for 10 years and they're finally like, I'm done with this. So those younger people who may be living on their own, it may not be something that's obvious. If they don't have a consistent bed partner, they're not married, then they may not be getting that feedback. But in that regard, we're still seeing younger people who have relatively good sleep hygiene. I mean, doing the things they need to do on a day-to-day basis, but still wake up feeling tired, fatigued, sleepy, they're dragging. And when they finally do mention it to their primary care doctors, then it initiates that workup, and they have risk factors for sleep apnea, and all of a sudden we realize, dang, it's there.
Now they have these beds out that raise your head. Now they have one that says if you snore, that it'll automatically do it by itself. Does the positioning of your head compared to your body have anything to affect sleep apnea?
It can. We definitely see for most people, when you're laying flat on your back, that's when the problems occur. So having the head elevated a little bit can certainly make a difference with snoring. It can probably reduce, maybe not eliminate, sleep apnea. Body positioning for those with mild and moderate sleep apnea can be an excellent tool. And just laying on your side of your stomach, then that can go a long way.
Again, Dr. David Book is with us. He's with the University of Colorado Health. So when you go through the procedure, the day of the procedure, let's just kind of walk through the day of the procedure, what someone can expect.
Sure. So the Inspire implant itself is an outpatient procedure. So almost everybody, with rare exception, goes home the same day. The surgery itself is something that is done under a general anesthetic, so folks go completely asleep for it. You don't feel anything, you don't know anything, don't remember anything about it. And I typically, what I'm doing is I schedule for about 3 hours. And part of the going to sleep is just because it's hard to get things numbed up and you don't want to lay there for 3 hours. The surgery itself involves currently two incisions. It used to be a three-incision process, but we've now got FDA approval for doing it through two. And there's an incision that is made underneath the jaw, sort of underneath the chin, on most usually the right side, although we can implant on the left for reasons and through that incision in the neck, we are identifying and isolating the branches of the hypoglossal nerve, which is the nerve that runs the tongue muscles, and we're trying to find those branches of the nerve specifically designed to protrude and stiffen the tongue. Once we identify those, We put the little electrode on. There's another incision that goes in the chest where we implant the sensor electrode, and then the actual generator itself, and then we connect all these wires to the generator and put some stitches in. We wake you up and you go home. After the surgery's done, we find that most people don't have a lot of pain or discomfort associated with the surgery. Tylenol, ibuprofen usually covered, although a little bit of muscle tenderness just from mucking around.
Right.
And there's about a month of just restricting some activity, just because it's implanted on top of some of the muscles under the surface. We don't want folks doing a lot of shoulder girdle, real extensive activities like playing tennis or golf or archery, where you're using your shoulder and your arm muscles a lot. So about a month of taking it easy, and then the restrictions go away. After the implant is put in, I always want to make sure people understand that we put that in and we do test it to make sure it's working, but then we turn it off again. So that on the day of the implant, you're not off to the races. There's about a month
right.
where we just let things recover, let things heal. And then a month later, we have people come back into the office. We turn the device on. We activate it. We get some basic programming and settings done. And then folks go home with a remote control that turns it on and off and pauses it, but also allows them to then titrate the settings. So we start folks off really low, and we want them to feel comfortable with it. And it can sometimes feel weird to have your tongue just move involuntarily when this device is activated. For what it's worth, there's a delay typically, so when people do activate it, we put a little delay before it turns on when you go to sleep, so you're actually asleep before it activates.
Okay.
And start out with settings that are low enough that people can tolerate and it's comfortable and it's not waking them up. And then over a period of a few days or a few weeks can go up on the settings until we get, hopefully find a sweet spot where they feel like they're sleeping a lot better, their spouses are happy. And then eventually, about 3 months later, get people back into the sleep lab and we do a formal titration where with the techs there, changing the settings and the programming to optimize it based upon the sleep study that you're having done that night.
Are there any lifestyle changes that would prevent somebody that could use Inspire?
That could prevent them from
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Well, I think one is body weight. I mean, if that's what you're asking.
Too much, yeah.
Yeah, if you're too heavy, it's just not going to work that well, because then we're seeing problems with the obstruction occurring elsewhere. Yeah.
So other than that, no, it's pretty open.
Nope. We have triathletes, marksmen.
Oh, I see what you're talking about. Okay,
yeah.
Lifestyle-wise, no. If you're doing it before Inspire and it's realistic, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody that likes to do marathons.
Yep.
Wouldn't affect them.
Oh, yeah, I see. I misunderstood. Yeah, the end of the question. But no, if you're an otherwise active person doing things, it would not affect your ability to do those things at all.
Just have to take a month off. If it comes to the point you're going to use that.
Right.
You have to take the month off.
Take the month off. Yeah. The one thing is, if you are an avid scuba diver, you are not allowed to go below 100 feet. So that's the only
Ever.
That's the only real restriction with the device. And that's one of the restrictions the FDA has in.
That's a good one.
So, but other than that, but if you're snorkeling or you're doing routine scuba where you may not be going down 30 meters or more, then you're okay. But 100 feet, that's the limit.
And there are other options out there that you do even. Okay, mm-hmm. So what are, if this isn't the right thing, what other things do you turn to?
Well, thanks. And so Inspire is one of the tools in our toolbox.
Right.
But, you know, it's a hammer. We've got a wrench. We've got screwdrivers we can use for this stuff too. And so for those.
The hammer is what the wife wants.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just knock him out.
Yeah. But there are still other options for surgical treatment. And again, really comes down to identifying those areas in the airway that are causing trouble. So I still routinely do that drug-induced sleep endoscopy just to see if we're making the right choices. But, for example, there may be folks who have difficulty breathing through their nose because of structural abnormalities in the nasal cavity, this septal deviation you hear about, or little bones inside the nose that are big, and that can impact the ability for the CPAP to be well utilized. So sometimes we're fixing the inside of the nose just to help the CPAP work better. The back of the there are those who have very large tonsils still that escaped childhood with their tonsils intact, and those can be in the way and causing obstruction. The soft palate sometimes has some extra redundancy to it. So there are other surgeries we can do where we may, for example, remove tonsils or tighten and rearrange the soft palate, and that can provide some benefit for those where those sites are causing problems.
Mm-hmm. I had my tonsils out at about 40 son, that was not fun.
Not at that age.
It is not a blast.
Woke up in the recovery room. All these kids are laying around. Like, mommy, who's the big man? I mean,
and you're crying for your mommy too.
It looked like a bomb went off in my throat. I went home though. It was just real quick, yeah. And I was single at the time and got my recliner. And I thought, man, I'm gonna take some Ambien and just try to sleep. And they told me to stay up in a recliner the first night, you know, just to stay up, kind of. Well, I wanted to eat these red popsicles, son. I passed out, woke up about 8 hours later. Those red popsicles had melted all over me. Son, I thought I had
you
thrown
bled.
Up my guts. Oh, I was like, ah! But I did. That was no fun at 40. So, hey, get your tonsils out early. All right, inspiresleep.com. And, Clint, if you don't mind, give us those instructions again for those just joining us, maybe the physician's page. And
yes, so inspiresleep.com, there's several links that you can go to learn a little bit more information about the device, the therapy. We also have an app. You're technically savvy and want to go to the App Store, we have a free app that you can go and download. It basically has all the information that's listed on the website. It also has links for finding physicians like Dr. Book, educational events. Can connect you to some patient stories, like patient advocates like James that we had before. But on the website, if you would like to learn more information, find the events page. We host many virtual health talks that are complimentary or free for patients that you just have to register. And then if based on your geography, if you'd like to find someone who you'd like to talk to a little bit more about Inspire, just type in your zip code and it'll pull up a different radius of all the different providers in that area that you can go and speak with. So okay. Inspiresleep.com is a great resource.
Now, if you're listening, and it's not you that has a sleep apnea, but it's your spouse, you can do the research for them and say, here.
Drag them kicking and screaming.
Yeah, without them. So you kind of do the homework, because my wife would love to do that. Yeah. Do the homework first, say, well, you need to fix this.
And you look at everything real quick, last minute here, but you look at everything, you know, people talk about, you know, diet, exercise. But I'm telling you, sleep may be the most important thing for health than anything, just being able to sleep at night.
It's yes. the ability to sleep is absolutely vital in our ability to recharge our brain, to maintain health, to recharge our bodies, so that we can get through the day. There's no mammal that doesn't sleep. You know? It's something that we absolutely need. And when it's not working, it is very, very disruptive and harmful.
Yeah. Dr. Book's number, 719-364-4120. Once again, he is with the University of Colorado. And also, Clem Sensi, thank you for setting us up. We appreciate it. Clem's number, 720-271-5640. And Kurt Rogers, thank you, sir. We appreciate
it. It's always my pleasure.
All right. Kurt with Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Get out and enjoy this beautiful weather. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.